Before we get started, I always ask a favor of you, and I always give you an opportunity to do something really amazing this week. And today is going to be even more amazing. This opportunity that you have is even more amazing. And every week I ask you to take out your phones and go to our social media page, the Path Church, and on Facebook, and share our live stream. And let me tell you, this is the easiest way to share your faith. The easiest way all week that you'll have to share your faith. And let me tell you why it's even more important that you do so today. Because there are people being affected by storm, Hurricane Irma, by storms, and they're not able to go to church like we are today. So there's people in Florida at home right now. And so we want to make sure that who knows where the word of God can get out to. This past week, I was contacted by a minister in Africa. I said, "How you doing, sir?" He said, "Thank you so much for your ministry on Facebook Live." I said, "Well, how did you hear about us?" He said, "I don't even know how I heard. I saw you guys. Somebody shared it with me who shared it. Somebody who shared it with me." So literally the word is getting to all over the world. So that's why it's so important right now for those who may be at home to be able to get to hear the word of God. So let's say hello to all those who are worshiping with us on Facebook Live. Say hello, Facebook family. Thank you for joining us today. If you are at home dealing with the storm, we are praying for you. We love you. Stay safe, all right? We had a great day yesterday. Quay and Tiffany got married yesterday, so we're excited about that. It was a glorious occasion. They looked beautiful up there. They looked amazing. So thank you for all of you who served in that wedding. It was amazing. Y'all did an amazing job serving your brother and sister in Christ. And we have a couple more weddings coming up this year, so please be praying for the future Andersons, the future Lanes. Yes, come on now. Let's go ahead and pray as we get ready to hear God's word. Father, we love you, and we thank you, God, that no matter what's going on in our lives, that we can worship you, that you remain the same, God, that you remain in control, that you reign, that you are worthy of our praise, Lord God. Lord God, and how great you really are. And we get to say that today. We get to sing that today. We get to yell that today. We thank you for the freedom that we have in you. We thank you that you've helped us to make Jesus Lord of our lives, God. We thank you that as we sing these songs, that it's not just empty words, but it really is a heart that's speaking to you, Lord God. And I pray that right now you will give me the words to say how you want me to say them, that you will give us all ears to hear, God, eyes to see, that you will reveal things in our hearts that we need to know about you. And help us, God, just get closer to you today. We love you so much. Please, once again, I want to pray that you will protect those who are being impacted by the hurricane, God, that you will veer that thing out of the way, Lord God, and just let it just fall apart, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we pray that you will keep people safe, Father, our family and friends and their possessions. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, amen. So we are going to continue our Moving Mountains series, a series on prayer. And Lord knows we have a lot to pray about right about now, right? There are a lot of needs going on. It is based from the book Moving Mountains by John Eldridge. I want to encourage you to get the book, read the book. If you can't afford it, just call me, text me, grab me in the fellowship. I will give you a free book. I want everybody to be united in this time for our church to move forward, to grow in our prayer lives. Because really my prayer for us as a church for the next couple of months as we go through this series is that we will cry out to God in a way we never have before as a church. That we will grow in our intimacy with God and that we will grow in our faith in God. And as a result, we will be able to experience what it's like to see God move mountains. Amen? Last week, we talked about who he is and who we are, right? The homework was to share with somebody else the characteristic of God that you see in them. Did anybody get encouraged last week? Okay, what did somebody share with you, Marie? So your passion and her love. Okay, awesome. Anybody else? Yeah. forgiving person. So forgiveness is a characteristic of God that she sees in you. That's awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else get encouraged? Yes, Rhonda. Servitude. Yes. Good. Who else got encouraged this week? Anybody else get encouraged this week? Well, good. I hope everybody was encouraged. I, too, was encouraged. I thank Elijah for encouraging my wife and I. I hope it helped us to see who we really are before God and to be able to even get to know God more and these characteristics of God. This week, we're going to talk about what it means to intervene, to intercede for somebody in prayer. That word means to come between, to get in the middle of it so as to prevent or alter a result or course of events. So today's title is intervention. Intervention. It means to come, to get in the middle of it, to come in between so as to prevent or alter a result or course of events. Let's turn our Bibles over to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're going to read a story about an interaction that Jesus had with a Roman soldier, with a centurion. And this is right after Jesus was preaching the most monumental sermon of all time, the Sermon on the Mount, where he shared about the Beatitudes and really kicked off his ministry in some ways. In Luke chapter 7, in verse 1, we see what happens right after he talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. He talked about loving your enemy. In Luke chapter 7, verse 1, it says this. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue," their place of worship, much like church that we have today. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, and with soldiers under me. I tell this one to go, and he goes, and that one to come, and he comes. I say to this servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel, even amongst his people." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So Jesus gets done preaching the word. The people keep on following him. He returns to what was home base. Capernaum was home base. was where many of his apostles were from. Actually, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they're all fishermen, and that was their hometown, as well as Matthew, who was a tax collector, and that's where he lived as well. And so this is the hub, this is the headquarters for the ministry of Jesus. And so he goes back to Capernaum, and this centurion, a Roman officer who oversaw around 100 soldiers, he's going through it. His servant, they believe probably a teenager, was sick to the point of death. But this wasn't just a regular servant. This was a servant that he valued highly, someone he thought highly of, that he respected, that he cared for, that he was concerned about. And he was sick, and he was about to die. Now, you know, as we face these different physical storms that we see and we read about and we're in the news and we're watching the news on TV or on our phones, and, you know, we know that the physical storms aren't the only storms that happen, right? We know that something like this is really a storm that he faced in his own personal lives. And we know that we all face storms, whether we're being faced with a physical storm or whether we're faced with an emotional storm, right? A storm of temptation, right? What it signifies is just this time when we feel we are out of control, when it feels like there's chaos around us, right? That's what the storm signifies. And so this was a storm for the centurion. This is a soldier who had authority, who was well paid, who was well off, who had servants, and yet this was something he could not control. You know, all of us, God allows us to face things in our lives to help us understand that we are not him. We are not God. We cannot control life. We only have so much control, and that's the control that he gives us, and that's basically a little bit of control that we have through the Spirit to have self-control over our own personal lives. But there's so much that happens that we have no control over. And so those are storms in our lives. And this is a storm that this centurion was going through. He was faced with the death of somebody that was very close to him. And so he sends his friends, and his friends are Jewish elders. Now, this is unheard of at this time. We know that the Romans were oppressing the Jews, so it was unheard of for the Jews to be friends with the Roman soldiers. But for some reason, they're friends. He tells us a little bit later on why. And he sends them to heal his servant. So the centurion is interceding for his servant. And then we see that the elders were interceding for the centurion. And it says that they went and they found Jesus, and they said that they were pleading earnestly. They were begging Jesus. Like, you've got to come. They started pleading with Jesus. I love that. That's amazing to me to see how much passion this communicates about somebody else, his needs, but it wasn't even his. They weren't even just him. It was like, it was his servant. It was somebody else. It was like a friend of a friend, right? And the Jewish elders are begging Jesus on behalf of the centurion who was begging Jesus on behalf of his servant. And they had a strategy. They begged him with a purpose, and they told Jesus why he should do this. They said, because he deserves it. It says in verse 6, in verse 5 says, listen, he deserves it. You don't understand what he's done. He's built synagogues for us. He's a good man. He's caring about this kid that's sick. He deserves it. He deserves it. And it worked. In verse 6, it says, so Jesus went with them. He's like, he's walking. He's just got done preaching. All these people are around him. And this Jewish elders come up. Listen, this guy deserves it. All right, you convinced me. I'll go. Jesus said yes. The strategy worked. So let's talk about a couple things. First, let's talk about these allies that the centurion had. These Jewish elders who dropped everything to intervene on his behalf, to plead earnestly on behalf of their boy, this Roman soldier. You know, one of the things that encourages me the most is when somebody tells me, I've been praying for you. And especially when I haven't asked for it, or I'm just, you know, it's good when I ask for it. It's good when I confess sin or temptation. I say, listen, pray for me. I'm feeling this, or pray for me. I've gone through this, or I fell into this sin, and I'm very grateful. But, man, there's something special about somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, I've been praying for you about this, and I didn't even know it, right? Yeah. Like for some reason, that means that, man, I'm humbled because I'm on their heart. Like, they're taking time out of their relationship with God, their connection with God, to think about me, to think about my needs, my family, to think about the brothers and sisters that I serve, and to cry out to God on my behalf. And that is amazing. You know, my mom is a prayer warrior, and I'm sure I'll share about her again. But there's time that my mom calls me, and she leaves a message, and the message is simply prayer. I mean, it's amazing. I'm hearing my mom pray for me, and this is a voicemail, just praying for me. Man, it encourages me so much. It communicates that you care enough, you know, that you love me enough. And for me, it brings a sense of comfort. That, man, and especially the people are righteous. Because it says the prayer of the righteous availeth, you know. And so, man, I'm really comforted then. I'm like, wow, I know God listens to that person, right? But not only do I feel comfort, but I also feel confident. It builds my holy confidence. You know, it makes me feel like, man, God's got my back. I can do anything because people are praying for me. This past week, of course, we know the hurricane passed through the Caribbean, and one of the islands that it hit was my home island of Puerto Rico. And so I asked people on Facebook to pray, and this is what I posted. Hurricane Irma will be hitting my island of Puerto Rico anytime now. Please join me as I pray for the island, specifically for God to protect my family and their belongings. Thank you. Thank you in advance. And so it was amazing at this point. This was yesterday. 298 people, almost 300 people that liked it, that responded to it. Over 62 people here that commented on it, that said they were praying. And so I'm watching the storm, and then and I'm praying, and I'm confident, and I'm comforted. And then what I hear, one of the comments was from a friend of mine. I used to work at 11 Alive, the NBC station here. And a friend of mine named Chris Holcomb is a meteorologist, and he's a lead meteorologist. And so what he took the time out to post on my Facebook page that the storm, what happened was the eye of the storm went right above the island. And so while they did get hit with some rain and wind, the really hard, like the really strong winds, they weren't affected by the Category 4 winds. And I'm like, I was so blown away, and that's what he posted here. Oh, actually, catastrophic Category 5 winds at the time. And so, for some reason, God allowed the eye to go right by that island. And, you know, I was just so blown away. And you know, what do you say then? You say, well, that's just a coincidence. Oh, well, you know what? That's just science. Hey, we can't control that. God can. God can. So I believe God is in control. I believe God is allowing this thing to get steered or steering it himself. I believe he is. Why? Because I believe he can, right? Now, I don't know what's all is happening in the spiritual realms right now. I don't know who's fighting, trying to do whatever's going on. I don't know. I don't even know if Satan has control over the weather. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen that in the scriptures. So I don't know if he can control it. I don't know. But I do know that there's a story in the Bible when Jesus was out on the boat in the middle of the water, and there was a crazy storm happening, and everybody was going nuts, and he was sleeping, and they woke him up. Don't you care about us, Jesus? And he said, you of little faith. And he rebuked the wind and commanded the rains and everything to stop. At that moment, peace. So I know for a fact that Jesus can't control the storms. And I know for a fact that he listens to our prayers. And so I'm going to give him glory for that victory. Now, on top of that, to my point about feeling comforted and confident, you know, it was amazing because I saw my family posted on my page, and they told me how grateful they were that so many people were praying for them. And they didn't feel alone. They didn't feel helpless or hopeless. Because when you look at Facebook, you look at a post of 300 people saying they're going to pray, there's something that happens there. And not only that, they just felt love. My dad later thanked me, who lives in Puerto Rico. He said, thank you for being so concerned about us. You know, something special happens when people know that we are praying for them, that we are intervening, interceding on their behalf. Now, who's intervening for you in prayer? Who do you know that is interceding for you? Who's pleading earnestly on your behalf? Who are you pleading for? Who are you interceding for? Who is in your prayer circle? You know, I want our church to look like this. When God looks at our church, I want him to see this. Circles of people in prayer, circles of light that kind of, you know, intermingle and intersect with one another, you know, the church is not a hierarchy, it's not a pyramid. It really is circles of relationships. And in those circles of relationships, we should be praying for one another. This week, my challenge to you, every week I've been giving you a challenge. This week, my challenge to you is I want you to ask someone if you can be part of their prayer circle. If you can, just ask, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And it doesn't even have to be mutual. It doesn't even have to be, hey, you pray for me, I pray. No, it's just, you just, hey, can I just pray for you? I want to be committed to praying for you this week, okay? That's my challenge to you, for you to go out and seek somebody that you can pray for this week. And when you do, I want you to try using this strategy. Tell God why the person you are praying for deserves for him, for God to come through. Tell God why the person you are praying for deserves to have these prayers answered, deserves to be blessed. In the same way that the Jewish elders told Jesus, this guy deserves for you to come back and do this for him. Tell God the same thing. Well, what if he's not a Christian? What if they're not disciples? Neither was the centurion. The Jewish people, the God-fearing people, God's people, went to bat for a pagan man. He was not a disciple, and yet they were still able to find the good in that person. They were still able to find the value in that person. Right? Sometimes we pray for God to humble people. Whatever you want to happen, Lord, and sometimes it's in a negative way. Whatever you got to do, God. Some of us would have went to Jesus. Jesus, listen. He's going through it. He needs this. He's starting to know that you're real. You know, he asked us to come, but you know, he may need to get a little bit more humble before you know what? He ain't even come out here to try to be your follower. He sent us. You know what? He still needs a little bit more humbling. So, you know what? Jesus, if you want the servant to die, by all means, hey, you know what's best? I just want the centurion to become a disciple, so. You know, sometimes we pray what can seem like curses instead of blessings for people. Have you ever thought about the scripture in Romans that said it's God's kindness that leads to repentance? Have you ever thought that maybe what that person needs, not to be destroyed, but to see God's kindness in the middle of the storm, to see God coming through in difficult times of their lives? You know, recently, I say that only because I'm guilty of it, right? But recently, I've decided to start praying blessings for the people that I want to become Christians praying. And you know what? God knows what they need, right? God knows what they need. And so I'm still open to God, whatever you want. But Lord, you know what? Bless his marriage. You know what? God, bless their children. Let them see that it's you, that you are the reason for their blessing. You are the reason for the good in their lives. Show them your grace and your mercy. Show them the good characteristics in you. God's kindness leads to repentance. The interesting thing is that while the Jewish elders were telling Jesus how the centurion deserved it, the centurion went out of his way to tell Jesus the complete opposite. He sent his friends to literally say, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That's why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. The centurion said, I'm not deserving. I cannot do this. I am not worthy. I can't even come to you, Jesus. There was a humility there that he had. And he was like, you know what? Maybe if y'all go, he may listen to you. Man, I know what I've been involved with. I know I'm not right with God. And that's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. You know, we don't have to tell God how much we deserve something. Really, the thing about the centurion was that he wasn't entitled. He didn't come across entitled. Like, you should do this for me. He could have easily said, Jesus, I've built your Jewish people synagogues. You know, sometimes we do that, right? Sometimes we do that. Man, or we feel like that. I've done this right for so many years, God. Man, this is the least you could do for me. Man, I've been a Christian for this many years, God. Man, you know, I've been fighting to stay pure. Other people, they're struggling out there. They're sleeping with people. They're dating non-Christians and going out there in the world. I'm trying to stay pure. Why does it seem like they're getting what they want? I'm trying to do things right ethically. Jesus, I don't want to cut any corners. But so-and-so is cheating. So-and-so is lying. Then you see their lives on Facebook or Instagram, and it's like, man, come on. I deserve better, God. I deserve better. The centurion said, I don't deserve it. But he had people willing to vouch for him. He knew he was not deserving. He knew he was not worthy. But, what did he say after that? Just say the word. Just say the word. So he wasn't confident in him. He was confident in the word of God. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. He was humble yet confident at the same time because he was confident in God. Author Mark Batterson calls this holy confidence. I said that before, holy confidence. It says, I can't, I'm not worthy, I don't deserve, but you can, God. Just say the word. He didn't use his good deeds to try to convince Jesus. He wasn't entitled. He wasn't confident in his good deeds. He was confident in God's word. Check out this quote by Batterson from the book Praying Circles Around Your Children. I like this. Holy confidence comes from doing the will of God for the glory of God. It's a confidence that is anchored in the power of God, the grace of God, and the word of God. It's all about God. Our confidence has to be all about God. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. This is the kind of confidence we should have, one that is totally dependent on God and totally anchored in the power of God, the grace of God, and the word of God. Amen? You know, God always makes me live out my sermons. Either before or after, but God is like, oh, you gonna preach this? You're going to live this out. Thank you, God. Sometimes I'm not so thankful, but thank you, God. And, you know, so this past week, I'm coming home, I think Wednesday or Thursday. I get a phone call from my agent, and he tells me that I have an audition for a national commercial. This commercial is a Pepsi commercial with a guy named Uncle Drew. Kyrie Irving. She says, this is a huge audition, and you got an opportunity to go and audition. And so everything seemed good, but there were some conflicts with my scheduling. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it because I had some other things during the shoot date that I had already planned to do. And not to mention how much money a gig like this would make. And so I call Mike, talk to him. I come home, talk to my wife. I pray with her. And I call Keegan. Keegan, and I don't think he picked up, so I called him first, and then me and my wife prayed. While we're praying, Keegan calls back. I said, thank you, Lord. So I pick up the phone. Keegan, I said, Keegan, will you pray for me about this gig? And whether or not, one, I should go to the audition, two, whether or not I should, whether or not I can take it because of my scheduling conflict. And so he prays. And earlier with my wife, I thought about this passage, and I prayed, God, I prayed, God, I don't deserve any of this, so I leave it in your hands. And then Keegan, he starts off his prayer saying, God, you know angels' heart. You know how much he loves you. You know how much he wants to bring you glory. Without him even knowing it, he was living out what these Jewish elders did on behalf of this Roman centurion. He was pleading to God on my behalf, saying, God, angel deserves for you to make this clear for him. And guess what? God answered our prayers. He answered our prayers. No, I did not get the gig. I went to the audition. I did not get the gig. But you know what? He answered my prayers. Because we asked God specifically that if it wasn't for his will, if it was, that he would do this in a very specific way, and if he wasn't, that I wouldn't get it. And if it wasn't his will. And guess what? It wasn't in his will. So he answered my prayers. And I'm grateful. I'm like, amen. But I got to see this scripture being lived out in my brother Keegan and his heart for God and his love for me. As we wrap this up, lastly, the centurion understood authority. He understood authority. He understood that, listen, he said, I'm a man under authority and I have authority over other people. So I know that if I tell people to do this, they do it. And I'm a human being. I'm just a Roman soldier. You are Jesus. You are the Son of God. So obviously you have authority. So all you have to do is say this word. Authority is a basic principle in how prayer works. Authority. Prayer works on authority. We know last week I touched on why we pray in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus says, you don't have to ask me anymore. You can just ask God on and just say that on my behalf in my name, and you can talk to God. You'll be able to pray to God and ask for things in my name. And that's why we say in Jesus' name. So what that is saying, that is coming in contact and enforcing the authority of Jesus Christ and the way he intercedes for us, right? And so Matthew 28:18, we know that Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we are using the authority of the ruler of all galaxies, of all realms, the physical and the spiritual and everything in between, to enforce the power of what we have just prayed. We are calling on the one with all the authority. We are putting his authority, his power on our prayers. That's why we say in Jesus' name. And when the centurion, you know, I love that they have strategies to this. They're using the intellect. For the Romans, it wasn't a faith that would just say, well, I guess he's Jesus, he's going to do this. He had to work this through in his own logic. Sometimes we have to use our logic and our faith, our logic to build our faith. He said, well, listen, if I can do this to these soldiers, and he's supposed to have authority over everything, if I can do this, then of course he can do this. He just put two and two. He's connecting the dots about God and his authority. And I love that because it was an informed faith. And this faith amazed Jesus. The way he reasoned through his faith amazed Jesus. And his Greek word literally means to marvel. So this man's faith was marvelous to Jesus. He had a marvelous faith in the eyes of Christ. And finally, in verse 10, then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine for the centurion in his perspective that he's sitting at home and with his servant, and I don't know if he's praying to God there or not, but I know he sent one group of friends, the Jewish elders, then he sends another group, they don't even come. And then all of a sudden, this teenager who is dying, all of a sudden is well? Like this? Before his boys even get back to the house? Like that? That's what Jesus can do. Look. Stuff that can take us years. Stuff that we may be working on for years, days, weeks, months. Stuff Jesus can do like this. Before we get home today, God can answer our prayers. On the way home today. Is that the faith that we have? Is that the confidence that we have in the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Let's have that type of faith that makes Jesus marvel, a marvelous faith, a faith that amazes Jesus. And we can do that by having both holy humility and holy confidence that is anchored in the power of God, the grace of God, and the Word of God. And maybe, just maybe, along the way, we can be part of seeing people around us be healed. Amen? Thank you. To God be the glory.